Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Africa, we see you. So much pain. So much darkness. Where is the hope? Where is the light? The Lord has not left Africa. His hand is not too short to save. He has not been silent. Listen, He is calling a generation, gathering His sons and daughters, His torchbearers, darkness defiers, prison breakers, bringers of the dawn. The time is now. Will you answer the call? Will you join us?
On the Botswana continent, there are 867 language groups that have never heard the gospel yet. Unreached people groups. That's over 800 million people just on that continent. If God is stirring your heart for missions, we want to talk to you. Next slide. Things have changed through the years. Used to be the prayer card and the newsletters were the only way to stay current. But now with email and all of those things, we can also stay current on our smartphones. If you have an iPhone, you can download the AGMD app. You can click to our name or you can search our name and you can follow your favorite missionaries. That was a joke. But you can follow your favorite missionaries every day. I'm serious about that too. It's both a joke and not. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but you can click on any missionary that you support through AGMD, and it will take you right to their page. If you don't have an iPhone, you can still get it on your Android. Just go to agmd.org/u/VanWyk, and that will still take it to our page. The next slide shows the page. It's going to give an overview of the ministry, but it's going to update you and keep you updated on how to pray. My wife gets on that on this web page every week, and she updates what's taking place with the ministry. And so you can get those notifications so you know how you can stay current in our ministry and how you can continue to pray for GEMS in Africa. Thank you for your partnership. We need that. We need prayer. And so we appreciate that very much. This morning, as I said, I want to share a testimony with you. But before I do that, I want to take us to a scripture verse out of Isaiah. It's a very familiar one. Isaiah chapter 55, starting in verse 10. And we'll just read two verses there, verses 10 and 11. The first one gives us a picture. If you are familiar with wheat country, if you are growing wheat and or raising any kind of crop, you're going to understand this picture very well. Verse 10, the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. Now here's the application. It is the same, verse 11, it is the same with the word from my mouth. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Did you catch those three things? It will accomplish all I want it to. It will prosper everywhere I send it. It will accomplish all I want it to. Excuse me, I mixed those last two around there. 10 minutes a week. 10 minutes a week. What is 10 minutes a week? Every week has 10,080 minutes. And I only want 10 minutes. I don't know about you, but I usually waste 10 minutes a week doing something. And it's like nothing. You know, it may be as silly as looking through my Facebook page or doing a Google search. I will get sucked into something for 10 minutes a week. I know it. As much as I try to be disciplined. And I think that's true of most people. You might be watching TV, it may be doing, but we waste 10 minutes a week. I'm going to primary public schools, and I'm asking for 10 minutes a week. I remember that morning in June 2014 when I'm riding in my speed light vehicle. The national pastor is sitting behind me. I'm going to the primary school of his village. 850 students in this school. And I'm going to ask for 10 minutes to tell a Bible story, relate it to their lives, and pray for the children. That's the vision God gave us. And so I'm riding with him. We come on that campus, and here I meet the principal, and she's stoic. Her face is hard. There's no expression in her voice. As I'm explaining just in a few minutes what my thinking is, I can't read her body language, and I would not have been surprised if she had said to me, "Thank you for your time. We don't need what you have. You may go." That's really what I expected. And I'm shocked when with that same even voice, same stone face, never a smile, she says to me, "We need what you have. Can you start next Friday?" Yeah, we can start next Friday. And so next Friday I come. And the Friday after that, and the Friday after that, and it's a good thing I didn't know what I was getting into as I came, because I don't know if my faith would have been there, quite honestly. Because when you drive on this campus, you've ever been in a meeting or in a place where the atmosphere is so thick and the tension is so heavy that you could almost cut it with a knife? You know what I'm talking about? That's what I felt every time I came on this campus. There was just an oppression. There's just a heaviness. No one was happy. The teachers were crabby. The kids were complaining. They were misbehaving. It was just and then to add to that, the teachers, you know, they're in a desperate situation. A minimum of 40 kids per class, usually 50 and 60. The school copier is broken down 95% of the time. There's never any money to repair it. It just sits there and gathers dust. It's just a desperate situation. Many classes are meeting outside under the trees because there isn't enough classroom space. Drunkenness prevails at home. Most of them are coming from broken families. Most of the kids don't even know their fathers. Witch doctors and the satanic realm are very much alive and embraced within the culture. It's just broken. It's completely dysfunctional. What good is 10 minutes a week going to do in the face of that? But I knew what God had called us to do. And 3 months in, I'm driving that 45 minutes to this school, and I'm discouraged this morning. The other four schools that we were in, I saw some progress. But this school, it was the same. And I'm always praying for these schools, and especially this school, on that 45 minutes out there, I'm praying and I'm interceding. And that morning, I just said, "Lord, did I miss it? Is this a school that I should have been elsewhere, not this one?" Now, as I'm praying, the Holy Spirit just reminded me of a few things, and he demonstrated. Botswana is known as a Christian nation. But how many of you know that being a Christian and saying you're a Christian are two different things? Right? That's the way it is in Botswana. They say they're Christian, but in the name of Christianity, they will have their children sing a Christian song at the beginning of every assembly, And they will have them recite a Christian prayer of some kind. 23rd Psalm, Lord's Prayer. But it doesn't take long to realize it's just rote. This is just memorization. It's like saying the Pledge of Allegiance for the 2500th time. It's just words. And so I started praying that morning. Holy Spirit, they're saying the right things, but they don't know who they're saying them to. They don't realize they're singing to a God in heaven that loves them. They're praying and speaking to you, but there's a God that really hears them and wants to change their life. Would you come today and would you surprise them with your presence? Would you come and would you capture their hearts so that they know there's a God in heaven that really loves them and can make a difference for them? Well, I get to the school, and it's the same as every other morning. The atmosphere is heavy, and I always stand over on one end because and the kids always line up. There's the kindergartners, the first graders, and then way down at the end are the sixth graders. And that morning, they chose to sing the song, Cast Your Burden on Jesus, for He cares for you. And it comes to the chorus, and the chorus says, Hiya, hiya, lift Jesus higher. And they're supposed to raise up their hands. And then stomp their feet, lower, lower, stomp Satan lower. Well, the kindergartners on the end here, they don't learn English till about the second grade. So they're just kind of looking around. They're still trying to figure out what's going on. The sixth graders way down at the end, they're the seniors of the primary school. So they're too cool for any of that. And the fifth graders, they want to see the sixth, they want to be like the sixth graders because they're cool. So they're thinking, if it's too cool for them, it's too cool for me. So it's usually the second through fourth graders, they'll participate some. But that morning, as they sang that song, God answered prayer. Because as they started to sing, Hiya, Hiya, lift Jesus Hiya, the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit came and flooded that school like I have never witnessed and experienced before. And from the smallest kindergartner to the toughest sixth grader, I witnessed children jumping up in the air, higher, higher, lift Jesus higher, lower, lower, stomp Satan lower, over and over again. The atmosphere was broken. The oppression evaporated. And joy filled that school like I have never witnessed before. God's Spirit was moving in power. Life came into that school, and the presence of the Holy Spirit was so evident. The joy on the children's faces as they're jumping, as they're stomping. The dust is now rising in the air. The thick, choking dust that, you know, it's just thick. I'm standing down here. I can't see the sixth graders on the other side. There's so much dust. But nobody cares. The joy is unmistakable. They keep jumping. They keep stomping. I love my African brothers and sisters. There's something in their culture that I just, what I love about it is when they are full of joy, they just naturally break out into dance. It's just, that's just how they express their joy. And that morning, usually sitting in the back, Are the teachers. They're sitting there with their arms crossed, waiting for this preacher man to get done so he can get back to the classrooms. But that morning, as the Holy Spirit was enveloping the kids, He didn't stop with the kids. He touched my teachers. He touched these teachers. Some of them are now singing with the children. Two of them come up front and they just start dancing in front of the kids. They're just free. They're free. And then there is the principal. Never heard her say a kind word. Never saw her smile. But that morning, as God's spirit was moving, all of a sudden she started bouncing. Her toes started leaving the ground. And a smile came on her face. God's spirit broke that atmosphere like never before. And the oppression has never returned. That was a start of transformation. And that transformation continues today. They told me when I left in June, they knew I had to be gone this year, and they told me, Pastor, we were in Egypt when you came. You've brought us to the promised land. We didn't know what it meant to be a Christian before, but now we know. Why? Because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It always produces fruit. It accomplishes all that he plans for it to accomplish. And it prospers wherever it goes, even in 10 minutes of time. 10 lousy minutes of time, God can use it and turn these hearts of the children to the heart of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what we are doing together as God's Spirit is blowing across this land. And it's happening in the other primary schools. Two of the five primary schools we've been in have been recognized by the national government because of the increase in test scores. The government knows about this program. In fact, the head of all the primary schools has sent out an email to all of them and said, you need to have this program in your schools. We have incredible favor right now because of what God is doing. Hallelujah. Now, I want to turn it just for a moment this morning. All this taking place in 10 minutes' time. The power of the gospel. And I just want to bring it home today and just say this. Because my heart is really still for, there's still part of me that this is my land. I love the United States. I know that God has called me to Botswana. I love Botswana. That's my home. But these are my roots. And it's hard to see what's happening in this country. And sometimes, and I get caught up with this sometimes, I have to guard my heart. Because sometimes we see what we can't do instead of looking at the opportunities that we can do. And I would just challenge you this morning and say, what is God calling you to do? But I don't get this amount of time. You don't need that amount of time. If I can do this in 10 minutes of time, it's not me, it's the power of the Spirit. As God leads you, as the Spirit moves on you, what is he asking you to do to redeem and bring that redemption even right here in Casper? It may seem insignificant, but it's not when it's done to him. I want to remind you about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Remember that? Jesus ministers all day long. It's time to go home. Jesus turns to his disciples, you feed them. Yeah. 5,000 men alone, not counting women and children there, 12 to 15,000 people there that day probably. You feed them. Yeah. And then there's the faith of a little boy. It's significant it's a little boy. Because kids are always innocent, aren't they? Unless you have the faith of a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. The little boy, you got 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is just a little boy's lunch. A mom thought to pack a little boy's lunch that day. Can't you see the disciples? Yeah, that's cute, thank you. And Andrew, you can almost hear Andrew saying facetiously to Jesus or almost sarcastically to Jesus, yeah, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what's that? Jesus sees through that. That's enough. He takes it. He just takes the little bit that's offered. And he starts breaking it. Those five loaves and two little fish from a little boy's lunch fed 12 to 15,000 people that day. Everyone had as much as they wanted. It wasn't a snack. It wasn't just a, take two pieces. No, eat as much as you want to. Everyone went home filled that day, didn't they? With 12 baskets left over. When we give him what's in our hand, he'll multiply it. What's God calling you to do? Even this morning, in relation to the faith promises, what's he asking you to do?
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.